Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
welcome to the Community Love Power Experience, your community science class. I am Yah Elohim, Yellow Rhythmic Seed, and the time is now. We are so glad that you are able to access the energy, the frequency that we are sharing, and that we get to access your energy and frequency as well. What we're going to be talking about today is a little bit more on Agenda 21, Agenda 30, because when I left it on the previous program, there were just still a lot of question marks, my overstanding of it, and I wanted to take just a little bit of time and actually dissect the actual agenda. So we downloaded the agenda, the entire document, and we're going to look at the table of contents today, and we see if there's any interesting aspects of the table of contents that we can review in real time. That's what we'll do. What we're going to do is come away with enough information to draw our own conclusions. Right now, I am basically dismantling all of the hype that I've seen, that I have seen in the research to produce these two programs. That's why we're addressing it again, and Agenda 2030 will be at least part of the next program. May not take up the entire program. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look deeper into Agendas 21 and 2030. The majority of our focus today is going to be on 21. This information is on the show page, blogtalkradio.com/UR, Sustainable Communities, the letter U, the letter R, Sustainable Communities, one word. You can dial in at 516-387-1233 or go to the website I just gave, blogtalkradio.com/UR Sustainable Communities. There's a chat page that's up if you want to come in and share your information and questions, concerns, positive, constructive criticism, things that we don't know that you know. We would love to hear from you by whatever means. And if you're not comfortable with doing it live, you can always email me, Yah Elohim, UR Sustainable Communities@gmail.com. So needless to say, Sustainable Communities is all through the work I've been doing, and from the Black Sustainability Summit through what we do here in the community to working to live as sustainable as possible. And it's just seemed natural to do that, to live in harmony with the earth, you know, more harmonious, less chemicals, more hands-on with your food, you know, with the youths, knowing about nature. It just seems natural. It's just part of who we are. I'm looking at the sustainable development movement and having more and more questions about what is it really? I don't want to be completely mistrustful of everything that comes along, but just based on our story and our experience on the planet with things that come along and kind of take over the consciousness, the social consciousness of the masses, there's usually some type of behavior control or agenda behind it in my observation in the decades that I've been on the planet. So that's why I'm beginning to ask, is this something that is positive and in our global best interest been co-opted to be something that then becomes a depopulation agenda, that then becomes a socialist agenda, I don't know. But of course, we start with the hot topic. And the hot topic is a review of something that we did a program about 5 years ago, which is lab-grown meat. And just as we look in the difference in the growth of fake meat and lab-grown meat, which is fake meat, plant-based meat, and lab-grown animal meat over the past 5 years has skyrocketed since we originally did the program, which was more like a heads up that this is coming. It's here. It's in every vegan restaurant. Well, not all. Some know what I know or feel what I feel. But it is popular because vegan, which is now a four-letter word, is What they're looking to do is make plant-based versions of meat products, and that's it is what it is. I advocate just eating plant-based versions of plant foods. I don't need an analog meat on my plate. So they take that whole plant-based some kind of Franken direction. It's very trendy now. I can sit in a public place and hear people calling a restaurant and asking for vegan options. I think somebody sent me, yes, one of my sisters sent me a WhatsApp of Beyonce and Jay-Z endorsing plant-based. So now there's a whole trend of plant-based, which is ludicrous. It is so unhealthy what they're doing. I have been plant-based for 47 years, and I'm here to tell you what they're doing is so death-promoting, because these Franken foods, what we want to do is learn the art of working with the plant foods in a plant form. So that's just my opinion. But anyway, we actually want to take a moment and talk about lab-grown meats. Well, listen about lab-grown meats. Can you imagine 50, 70 years ago? Would people be thinking of lab-grown meats that would be considered to be the most ludicrous, ridiculous, insane thing? Why can't you just go get a cow?
Would you eat a hamburger or a chicken nugget made of meat grown in a laboratory? Joshua Tetrick, co-founder and CEO of Just, is betting that you will.
In tomorrow's world, you can eat more meat, hopefully safer meat, even better tasting meat, without eating the animal.
Just, which is based in San Francisco, has been producing and selling non-animal versions of food like mayonnaise since 2013, and it's raised more than $310 million in venture capital. Tetrick and his team have created products like Just Mayo by identifying plant-based alternatives to common animal products like eggs.
We're one part pharma, one part biotech, and a whole bunch of regular food company. We build a discovery system that has the only patent in the world that utilizes machine learning for food ingredient discovery. And it helped us find this mung bean that when you put it in a pan, scrambles. And that process broken down means we source from over 51 countries in the world. We look at about 21 different molecular properties. We look to see how that bean functions. Does it bake a cake? Does it gel in a pan? And then we see if it makes ice cream or butter or scrambled eggs. Our process of finding these new tools is high tech, but what we find is not high tech at all. The mung bean has been in the world's food system for 4,400 years. I sure as hell didn't invent the mung bean.
Just is one of a handful of tech companies working to disrupt the meat production industry. While many of its competitors are pursuing better plant-based meat substitutes, Just is pushing ahead with so-called clean meat, or lab-grown animal tissue, that requires no farming, no feeding of livestock, and no slaughterhouses. Only a single sample from a single animal, duplicated endlessly. Just and companies like it are poised to disrupt the entire livestock industry, but the established players are turning to the government to protect their turf. The United States Cattlemen's Association, which declined to participate in this story, submitted a petition, still under consideration by the United States Department of Agriculture, asking that the words meat and beef exclude any products that are neither derived from animals nor slaughtered in the traditional manner.
The power of a term is a lot more powerful than people think, especially in food. Imagine Tesla launches a pickup truck, but U.S. Department of Transportation says, hold up, Tesla, Elon, you can't call it a pickup truck. You have to call it an electric mobility transport unit. That's not winning in Alabama. Even though it might be fast, even though it might have an amazing amount of horsepower, because a car is identity, but food's identity even more.
Just is also looking to transcend the vegan versus carnivore paradigm.
We don't allow the term vegan to be used in our company. Not because we don't believe in the spirit of it. That word ends up turning off 99% of people. The food system needs to start over. Little girls in the second row of a class in Liberia aren't getting proper nutrients. A young boy growing up in Birmingham, Alabama is accelerating a path to type 2 diabetes. Animals are being confined in needless ways. It's contributing to climate change. And I think if we can think differently about the food system, while also realizing that we can't be so new and so out there that it doesn't like relate to the everyday human being, we can do a whole lot of good. And that's what I want to do.
This isn't Tetrick's first fight with entrenched food interests.
Just Mayo has been threatened by the Egg Board. I can't believe this.
When the company's first product, Just Mayo, appeared on the shelves of major retailers, the American Egg Board went on the attack. It tried and failed to get Whole Foods to pull the product from its shelves and hired a network of writers to trash the product on food review sites. Target pulled Just Mayo off its shelves after receiving an anonymous letter about food safety, but an FDA investigation later found that the product was safe, and investigators failed to ever identify the author of the letter. At one point, Egg Board members even discussed putting out a hit on Tetrick, with one writing that he should have his old buddies from Brooklyn pay him a visit. The officials claimed to be joking.
I think the email where they discussed putting a hit out on me, where the American Egg Board discusses that, was probably the most surprising. You know, at the time, we probably had like 15, 20 people in the company. I didn't really know what the hell I was doing. And all of a sudden, the egg industry has an interest in this little mayo product. And when bigger, more entrenched folks pay attention to you, maybe it's validating that you're onto something.
Whether or not consumers are ready for lab-grown meat is yet to be seen, and the company landed in hot water with the SEC in 2016 after being accused of buying its own products off the shelves to boost sales figures to raise more venture capital, though the company claims it was a quality control measure and no charges resulted from the investigation. But with Just products in more than 20,000 stores and plans to release lab-grown clean meat onto the market by the end of the year at a retail price within 30% of that of traditional meat, Tetrick is optimistic about the future of his company and the global food system.
It was an out-of-body experience to sit there and eat a chicken, but have the chicken that you're eating running around in front of you.
We're working on chicken nuggets, maybe foie gras. I want to focus less on changing the cultural and societal perceptions of a word. I don't know how long that's going to take. And more on feeding as many people as I can every day a little bit better.
Oh, so is this the part where I talk about what a hero he is? What lofty and noble goals that he has. He wants to make sure the little girl sitting on the second row of school in Liberia has enough Franken meat. And he wants to make sure the boy in Alabama headed for type 2 diabetes has enough cloned meat. When are we going to start talking about the effect of these foods on the body? We have such a blind spot when it comes to profit. Just like one of the gentlemen said on the 5G summit, these people forget that they have children. They are so in pursuit of whatever it is they're in pursuit of. They forget about their own children. Are they actually thinking they're doing something good by creating Franken meat in a lab with no real complete? You cannot dissect the meat to the point where you just put all the ingredients together. It's much more complex than that, in my opinion. So I did a program 5 years ago on lab-based meat. I thought I wanted to review that just for a minute because there are some really good points in it. Lab-grown meat.
We're reminded that the ability to officially create meat or something sufficiently meat-like will become progressively more important in coming years because humanity maybe reaching a point where there's not enough animal protein to go around. Well, this is well documented, and we've been know that's been coming. The United Nations, expects the global population to grow from the current 7.2 billion to 9.6 billion by 2050. Also, as countries such as China and India continue to develop, their populations are adopting more Western diets. Worldwide, the amount of meat eaten per person daily nearly doubled between 1960 1961 and 2007, and the UN projects it will double again by 2050. If you check out our webinar, and there is actually a whole article, which would be speculative, put out by BBC, and it's titled 2050, All Meat Sales Banned. And, of course, it's speculative. It's in their future, in their future column. So you can Google, you can go to their site, bbc.com, and click on future or 2050 all meat sales banned. But it's speculative, but it's also realistic. It's based on the trend. Folks will be lucky to get to 2050. And so the whole movement of manufacturing meat or meat-like substances that satisfy people's supposed need for protein, and that's another conversation in terms of protein, the degree of protein or level of protein that most people think they need is not the case. And as a matter of fact, the body does manufacture from the amino acids precursors, the proteins that are being needed for growth, et cetera. But there are two approaches at this time, generally, to satisfying the demand for meat. That's the analog meat and clone meat. We're going to mostly focus on analog meat. However, in the webinar, we are going to devote a little bit of time to clone meat, if I said analog. We're mostly going to be talking about cloned meat. However, in the webinar, we are going to devote some time to analog meat. You're probably quite familiar already with the first generation of analog meat in the form of tofu pups, veggie sausages, veggie burger, and links and tofurkey, these type of substances. These are vegetable-based substances. They're made out of soy, wheat, oats, rice, etc., that are processed, and they're shaped into the form of artificial meat, usually by the use of the extruder. And so we are going to have a clip on the webinar about how the analog meats work or how they are manufactured. For purposes of comparison and contrast, we're going to take a few moments to explore how veggie burgers are made in the webinar. That won't be a part of 15 minutes of science this afternoon. Now, those products and those similar to them represent the older, as we said, the first generation of analog meat. And we now have the next generation, the next permutation of analog meat in the form of Beyond Meat. Now, you can go to Beyond Meat website, which is beyondmeat.com, and learn all about the founder, who is vegan, and how he has partnered with the University of Minnesota and other labs to produce analog meat made from peas and soybeans. And so, but their mission is to become the market leader in the development and introduction of new plant protein products. We are focused on perfectly replacing animal protein with plant protein. Where doing so creates nutritional value at lower costs. Beyond Meat is now available at Whole Foods and Sprout Markets and other locations around the United States, obtainable from their website. In contrast, Modern Meadow uses 3D printers and tissue engineering to grow meat in a lab. Modern Meadow's site has a wealth of information describing and supporting the cultured meat movement. You can go to their site, which is modernmeadow.com, for further information. As denizens of planet Earth, have we given serious thought to the future of our culinary habits? Meat is becoming an increasingly costly resource, so science and industry have come up with a solution, cloned meat. When we say meat, in this case, we are referring to meat, chicken, and fish. Anything with a face is apt to be cloned. Also, wearing, because cloned leather is on the horizon, as well as another topic for another time. But just be aware, in 3 years, you'll likely be wearing clone leather. We're going to talk in our upcoming webinar a lot more about what lab-grown meat is and how it is constructed. And it's basically built from stem cells, and you know, we will give more detail as well as the visual component in our upcoming webinar. We've got a webinar describing in great detail lab-grown meat and how it's manufactured. And then we've got another really great clip that shows how the world's first test tube hamburger was grown. And so we also, in the webinar, are going to look at the effect, the health effect of cloned meat. You're going to want to join our webinar. This program that we are airing at this time is providing you some preliminary information, but you really want to join our webinar series to learn about solutions. Please remember to join the webinar series for more information. We provide you with up to 2 hours of information, video, special presentations, and more, all in an AV format, as in audiovisual. Our Thursday webinar is only $8.
Okay. She's definitely pushing that webinar. I think she said webinar like 15 times, which she is me, of course, in case you weren't aware. It was really great information, and there's more. But, you know, that's actually not the topic for today, so I don't want to spend too much of the program, of the experience talking about. But lab-grown meat, just something 50, 70 years ago or 90 years ago when my mom was an infant, is something that is completely out of the concept. I'm sure there were people on the planet, they were already working on it. That's why it exists today. But it was so far from daily reality. So that is lab-grown meat. And the first clip was more recent and talking about the way that he's doing it is basically growing, culturing off of stem cells, even though he didn't talk that much about the science. So just consider, you are what you eat. It is not simply the components of protein and fat and carbs, et cetera, that makes up your food. There is another whole energetic and more important component to your food, which is the energy of it. So consider, now that you are informed, whether you want to consume something that carries the frequency of being made in a laboratory. No judgment. Could be fine for many of us. However, moving into the topic, is actually Agenda 21. More about Agenda 21 and next program, Agenda 30. So if you want to get that whole program, that whole presentation that we were doing about the clone meat and lab-grown meat, this is how you get to it. You go to blogtalkradio.com/quantum Quantum hyphen evolution, evolution. And when you get there, search for, or the easiest way that I found it, I just went to my search engine and I put in blogtalkradio.com quantum evolution lab grown meats, and the program came up. That's the best way to do it. Go to the Quantum Evolution show page and search like that. But the quickest way, lab-grown meat on blogtalkradio.com, quantum-evolution was the name of that particular series of presentations, which I liked what I was doing. I'm going to pick that back up because I was doing the 30-minute kind of intro, and then on the webinar I could go into so much more depth and a much more quality presentation, and it's for sale, which offsets a lot of the time and energy because, of course, I'm paying out of pocket for this program, which I'm not complaining. I'm just saying about using and leveraging resources more wisely. And it appears maybe 5 years ago I made the decision that the wisest thing to do is use the free aspect of Blog Talk, which was 30 minutes, to promote the long-term 2 hour with visual, which is so much more informative, and then you have a whole class. So I like what I'm inspiring myself to do, and I'm going to go back to that. I was looking for a solution for this. So what specifically is Agenda 21? We asked that question 2-3 times last program, previous program, and answered it 2-3 times in different clips. One of the things that I observed in studying about, did a little study, I should say, just researching online, not really studying, Agenda 21, is that there are a couple of probably anti-factions. One is right, one is the left, especially the far left, and especially the far right. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at this commentator. Let's think critically. I want to comment on this. Is Agenda 21? And I don't know what's the name of that. Let's see what the name is. I'm sorry for being unprofessional here. Okay. So this is a conservative person, probably well known in this conservative world in which I do not inhabit, so I don't know him. But this is something to ask about the Agenda 21, and how do we ask it for ourselves in our own communities in the context of our lives?
Nothing really new, but it's picking up steam and it's building momentum in certain circles. The worst part is you may not even be aware of it, but groundwork is being laid. One of the main reasons for these same old tired ideas being revitalized is because those pushing globalism and government control on a global level have mastered the art of hiding it in plain sight and then just dismissing it as a joke. Their great example would be this. The United Nations Earth Summit, Agenda 21. Yeah, that kind of sounds like Fahrenheit 451. I don't think that ended well. Agenda 21. They refer to it as sustainable development. Well, that sounds good. Gee, Wally, that sure sounds great to me. I mean, who's against development, especially the sustainable kind? Yeah. Yeah, you might change your mind when you hear a little bit of the background of sustainable development. Here's how Agenda 21 is defined by the United Nations. A comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations system, governments, and major groups in every area in which humans impact the environment. Wow, that's kind of broad. Now, it has been adopted by more than 178 governments. I believe there's only 191 on the planet. The United Nations had their big conference on the environment and development in Rio back in 1992, and that's when everybody jumped on board. But it sounds harmless. It's only Agenda 21. Yeah, go look this one up, because it's not so harmless. And it really, can I tell you something? You have to dig pretty deep into this thing. I mean, because look at all this. It doesn't get spooky until about... Section 1, Social and Economic Dimensions, which talks about the redistribution of wealth, changing consumption patterns, promoting health, I love this one, change population, and sustainable settlement. That's good. Then a little later, when it talks about the redistribution of wealth, which we all love, quote, developed countries and funding agencies should provide specific assistance to developing countries in adopting an enabling approach to the provision of shelter for all. So that's like guaranteed housing. Well, that's going to be great because the government's going to own all of our houses anyway because we're all going broke because of this. Reading through the pages, it becomes clear sustainable development is just a really nice way of saying centralized control over all of human life on planet Earth. That doesn't sound bad. It starts to make more sense when you see who's responsible for all of this. First, Gro Harlem Brundtland. I love her. I don't really know how to say her name because I don't know anybody who names their child with the first name G-R-O, Gro. But here she is. strong like bull. She happens to be the first vice president of Socialist International, which I read in Newsweek, we're all socialists now, just like Girl. Totally unrelated to her work at the UN is her socialist work, I'm sure. She's also really close friends with the Clintons. Oh, they get along so great. Where is she? Oh, there she is. Yoo-hoo! Right here. There she is. She's also active in the Clintons' Global Initiative. She's there for the annual meetings. Yeah. She was there when Hillary received a German Media Award in 2005. And here's Hillary wishing her dear friend happy 70th birthday. Watch. Here she is.
As a former environment minister, a longtime advocate for sustainable development, and most recently as a United Nations Special Envoy for Climate Change, you helped set the stage for intensive diplomatic and scientific work being done on this issue today.
Yada, yada, yada. Okay. Girl wasn't just there. Come on, she's being modest here. Girl wasn't just there. She coined the term.
So we get it, okay? What he's talking about is... He's concerned about the redistribution of wealth, obviously. He was concerned about housing for everyone, obviously. He's concerned about losing his personal resources, obviously. And we have to ask ourselves, because really the more I personally listen to the sustainable, and I am a big proponent and supporter of, I got to find another term. Because what sustainable development has become is something that I don't know if I can support it. The principles on the surface really are about us all living harmoniously, but there's other, and because it looks so benign and it is something that I am interested in and advocate for, is easy to slip in another agenda. And as I listen to just randomly, especially like the NPR here in Florida that's on a lot, the word climate change comes up so often. I know it is a program. It is social control. I'm listening to the youth. I was going to look her up. Greta Thunberg. I was listening to her speak, and she's just a child. She's a child. I'm not going to criticize her. And when I listen to the emotions of the youths, it's justified for what they are inheriting. However, it also reminds me of my youthful years when there were people in our circle who were emotionally imbalanced, and they used the topic, which was a great topic, to be able to just vent all kind of unhealthy things. And so I don't hear balance in her voice. I overstand angry, and so it just may have been the moment. But I am saying, and I am asking, are they balanced? Okay, y'all. Keep moving. We're actually going to take a short break so I can breathe and get myself, you know, really. Because, you know, everything, it's like you cannot actually trust anything. You cannot actually trust anything. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to actually look at the actual literal table of contents of Agenda 21 and for our own selves decide, make decisions about what it's saying. If there's anything on there that we feel we want to explore a little more, let's do that. Let's come back in 3 minutes.
Ça vole, ça vole, ça vole, ça vole. Ça vole l'argent de mon pays, ça vole. Il s'envole, il s'envole, il s'envole, il s'envole.
de mon pays s'envole. Construit de nos mers ou extrait de nos roches, nos richesses prennent un chemin qui ne mène pas à nos poches. Nos terres sont riches, nos bras sont forts, mais d'autres profitent du trésor, nous laissant dans la pauvreté. Ça vole, ça vole, ça vole, ça vole. Ça vole l'argent de mon pays, ça vole. Il s'en vole, il s'en vole, il s'en vole. Il s'en vole. Il s'en vole l'argent de mon pays, il s'en vole. Combien de fortunes cachées, construites avec nos cieux, qui donc encaisse les bénéfices du travail de nos fils. Nous ne goûtons jamais les fruits de notre labeur. Plus l'Afrique a de la valeur, plus puissants deviennent les voleurs. Et ça vole, ça vole, ça vole, ça vole. Ça vole la grande de mon pays, ça vole. Il s'en vole, il s'en vole, il s'en vole. Il s'en vole l'argent de mon pays, il s'en vole. Pour vivre le dignement, pour multinationales. Follow Sonia Katana, yeah, yeah, no. Baby, dear, oh, ma. What's that, no, ma, Sonia? Hey, ça vole, ça vole, ça vole. Ça vole. Ça vole l'argent de mon pays. Ça vole. Il s'en vole, il s'en vole, il s'en vole. Il s'en vole.
Yes, that was just awesome. Thank you. So here we are. We have in front of us the table of contents of Agenda 21 from the UN Conference on Environment and Development in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, from the 3rd to the 14th of June in 1992. So the very first thing is the preamble. Section one, anything that we have interest in, we'll just jump in. Anything that feels like, okay, we really want to know more about, what does that mean? You can call 516-387-1233 and give your comments, questions, concerns. Or you can also go to the show page, blogtalkradio.com/URSustainableCommunities, which is the letter U, the letter R, Sustainable Communities, one word, and get to the show. Get to the show like that. So looking at the TOC, we said the preamble. Section 1, Social and Economic Dimensions. International Part 2. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to read the numbers. I'll read the section numbers. International cooperation to accelerate sustainable development in developing countries and related domestic policies. Combating poverty, changing consumption patterns, demographic dynamics and sustainability. Protecting and promoting human health conditions, promoting sustainable human settlement and development, integrating environment and development in decision making. So that's section one. Section two is conservation and management of resources for development, protection of the atmosphere, integrated approach to planning and management of land, combating deforestation, managing fragile ecosystems, promoting sustainable agriculture, conservation of biological diversity, environmentally sound management of biotech, protection of the oceans, protection of the responsible supply of fresh water, environmentally sound management of toxic chemicals, environmentally sound management of hazardous waste, soil waste, sewage waste, safe and environmentally sound management of radioactive waste. And so, sounds good to me. It really does. It really does. It really does. These things are needed. And that's why I say it's something that affects everyone, because you can't, I don't think, feel like anyone can actually realistically deny that this isn't needed. There is agenda control, social control, because one aspect of it is that when you live in a developing world, you're going to live in a more sustainable recycling way. It's necessary. You don't have as many resources. So a automobile tire becomes so many different things, where in the West it's thrown into the landfill. It's used for so many different things in the developing world. A piece of thread would discard here is saved and wrapped and reused. A rubber band or an elastic that your produce comes on and you throw it away is conserved and reused. The wire that holds your kale, you take that and reuse it and repurpose it. Your vehicle parts, I could talk, a long time. But the point that people have been living like that forever. That's how you live in the developing world. You have to go catch water. You have to walk for water. Water is a much more valuable resource because it takes so much human capital to gather water, to grow food. Sustainable growing practices have been used for millennia. That's how people have been able to live. The issue now is with GMO and Monsanto and factory engineered farming and GMO seeds and the depletion of the soil. These are where the issues are, not the practices of how to grow sustainably. Anyone who knows their grandmother, who grew up in a developing country, saw what their grandmother did. It's the West that needs sustainable development with the big SUVs and three different types of gas, and you throw everything away. So now they have recyclable containers and they're getting rid of straws and they get rid of plastic. It's the West. It is a Western concept, sustainable development. Even though now you hear many indigenous people saying sustainable development, they've been living sustainably. They want credit and acknowledgement for the fact they've been living sustainably from time immemorial. This is a Western elite movement, sustainable development. I'm going to have to find some different words to use. I don't know what they'll be, but they're coming. Section three, strengthening the role of major groups. Global action for women towards sustainable and equitable development. Children and youth, reorganizing and re-strengthening the role of indigenous people. Strengthening the role of NGOs, local authorities initiatives. Strengthening the role of workers, the role of business, scientific and technology, science and technology, farmers, means of implementation. Financial resources, transfer of environment. This to me is what I'd be interested in. Okay. The means of implementation. Transfer of environmentally sound technology, cooperation and capacity building. Science for sustainable development. Promoting education, public awareness, national mechanisms, international institutional arrangements, international legal instruments. Yeah. International and institutional arrangements, financial resources and mechanisms, transfer of technology. See, this is, to me, is roots and shoots. international legal instruments, international institutional arrangements. Yeah, man, this. Information for decision making. That's where I want to go. That's where I'm going. I'm going into chapter 33 through 40 of the Agenda 21 because that is what's going to talk about it. Just for the sake of time, because we're coming like to the bottom, I'm just going to Google. I'm just going to search for which one? Transfer of technology. That's chapter 34. Okay? So I'm going to go there. Transfer of technology. Okay. He is here a lot of times. So it says, sorry, that was lots of silence. I apologize. I started reading. I was looking for the terms transfer of environmentally sound technologies, and I was going through the document looking to see where it appears, and then I started reading that. So, for example, with the farmers, they want to enhance the self-reliance of farmers developing and improving rural infrastructure and facilitate the transfer of environmentally sound technologies for integrate production and farming systems. And then it says including indigenous technologies and the sustainable biological and ecological processes. See, that's really because that then can fit, like, if you're talking about environmentally sound technologies, and when you're talking about genetically modified organisms, and GMOs have lobbied and successfully been identified as non-biologically damaging, then I see insidiously that the very thing that we are supposedly working against is being slipped right in. Because it says including and including. And when they're saying including, they're not telling you everything. They're telling you stuff they're including. They're not even telling you the main thing, in my opinion, because they're saying including. And this is the trick of the language. This is why you have to go into it and read it for yourself and draw your own conclusions about what they're actually saying. Which is what I'm doing. I'm just doing it in real time. Because I came into this whole sustainability thing, jumped in with both hands and both feet in so many ways in my life. And now I realize this is an elitist Western construct of behavior control. Can't we see that? I'm not saying we don't live in harmony with the earth. We've done that for millennia. I'm saying that we are not following a sustainable program that is directing us how to act with us out, not really thinking and discerning what it is we're being asked to do. And some of it is obviously quite helpful. I agree with most of this. I agree with what they put on the paper. I'm just curious about what's not on there. I really am. So you know, it won't be part of this program. But what I would do, I am going to look through Section 4 of the Agenda 21, Means of Implementation. This is going to give you more than all the lofty of managing fragile ecosystems and environmentally sound management. Who wouldn't be for managing ecosystems? Who would not be for environmentally sound management of toxic chemicals? Who would not be for environmentally sound hazardous waste and solid waste and sewage waste and conservation of biological diversity. I don't have to read that. I'm for all of that. I need to know how that's going to come about, because therein is the issue. Ah, the plot thickens. Yes, the plot thickens. It's making more and more sense to me. So, we had already talked about, that was really exciting. That was really, really exciting to me, because I really get it more and more. But let's listen to a little bit more about someone else's opinion about the real agenda. This is her opinion. We'll get her name as we listen to her. We'll do about 5 minutes or less, maybe 3 minutes of her, and then we'll move on to the next.
And a lot of activists and concerned citizens here in the San Francisco Bay Area are actively engaged in fighting it here.
And let's bring the audience up to speed about briefly what is UN Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm, great. Well, it sounds like it's Area 51 or Catch 22 or something like that, but it is the United Nations plan for the 21st century. That's why they call it Agenda 21. And it was signed on to by 179 nations in 1992. George H.W. Bush signed us on. And the following year, it was brought back to the United States by Clinton as the President's Council of Sustainable Development designed plans to instate it. What it is essentially an inventory and control method for the entire world. It says that that many things are unsustainable, such as single-family residences, private vehicles, meat eating, appliances, air conditioning, and that people need to be restricted. Our level living, our standard of living needs to be reduced, and this will be the only thing that will bring about social equity in the world. And this is a very powerful buzzword now that basically says that in order for others to have more, you need to have less.
Redistribution of wealth.
Yeah, that's right. And so basically, what we're seeing now, especially those of us in California, because California is really one of those places where it's an incubator, but you do see this everywhere in the United States. It's not that the plan is sort of a 20-year-old plan and what are we talking about. It's that it has been worked on for 20 years in every single city, county, and state in the United States, and it is very far progressed now.
Let me back the audience up here a little bit, because you and I know that really this started as an initiative back into the 70s, actually even before that. But let's go to the 70s and walk everybody forward here quickly up to the 90s and then where we are in the present state. Then let's talk about the hegemony and how this has influenced everybody.
Wow, well, great. Well, actually, if people are familiar with the United Nations, which most of us are not,
That's correct.
Many different commissions. And in the 70s, there was Habitat One. I think it was in 1976. Habitat One, basically said that private property ownership was not desirable. That it created social inequity, and that land should be held in public ownership. And this is what you're seeing now. This has had a tremendous impact on all of us, because our collapse of our economy has actually shifted property ownership out of the hands of people who could manage it themselves into more public entities. So that was in 1976, and of course this has been going on. And then back in 1987, the World Commission on Environment and Development came up with the definition for sustainable development. And that is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. So then, of course, they immediately said, well, seems like we are compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. And then they said, well, we need to find out what we can do about that. So, of course, these things all sound good, and that's because they employ people, public relations firms, to come up with jargon that makes it sound good, that makes you feel like you really want to sign on to it, that there can't possibly be anything wrong with green or visioning or sustainability. But really what it is an inventory and control plan of every single resource in the United States, including human resources. Human and natural resources and means of production are all going to be are all right now in the process of being inventoried and controlled.
Now, from 70s to 92, which was Rio,
mm-hmm.
we got the accords. Bush signed on to it. Clinton brought it forward. What was that document that they were signing on to? What was the President's Council on Sustainability?
Okay, well, let me just say Agenda 21 is an actual document. You can get it online. Take a look at it. It's UN.org. Go right to it. And it's 300 pages. It's 40 chapters divided into four sections. And it covers pretty much every single aspect of your life, and including economics, housing, transportation, land use, health, water, energy, food production, population control. And all of these elements are you know, vitally connected with how management of populations is going to be handled. So what we're seeing now, what is the outgrowth of the President's Council on Sustainable Development, which Clinton created. It was 12 cabinet-level secretaries, along with captains of industry, mainly in the energy field, and environmental groups. And
Rosa, let me stop you here for a second, because we're going to come up to a break. But that leads me to the question about why the President nixed the pipeline deal here recently.
Mm-hmm. So I think she gave a really great introductory explanation about Agenda 21, so you can always get the fullness of that. Actually, I didn't get her name correctly, but you can just Google eco-tyranny and her information will come up. She's not the Brian person who wrote the book, but her information will come up also. That is a great explanation of what Agenda 21 one is, in my opinion, is a massive population control and behavior control agenda. And she said, it couldn't be. I went to the TLC med pieces. How could I not be for that? Of course for that. And so they are master at hiding or submerging, and like the other guy said, right in your face, something you're going to grab to and want to be a part of. So now, what is the solution? I have to ruminate on that. No, I detect on that. What's the solution? First of all, I'm going to stop using those words, but I don't know what words I'm replacing it with yet. And then, what shift do I make in my living, in the way I move through my experience here that takes me out of that program? That is a big piece, because all the things that I would want to do, get away from the smart meter and get the wife, all that, all of those things are sustainable. So therein lies the adventure. That's really the adventure. So we're going to take a small break. We're going to revisit the population control agenda that we looked at on the previous program, and then we're going to move towards a small review of Agenda 2030, almost no review, but we're going to look at Agenda 30 and in more detail on the upcoming program, of course. Short break.
Don't waste your golden time.
To the bottom of the hour, and we're supposed to do 15 minutes with the practitioner. And I'm just going to talk about a couple of things. One is the farm tour. I've planned a farm tour for Saturday, September 21st, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen for a lot of reasons. It wasn't actually a good time. However, I'm rescheduling it for November 16th because by then, it'll be a little cooler, and the organizational aspects of the farm tour will be more in place. It's summertime in Florida. I couldn't really find any farms with anything to look at. So by November, December, maybe even January, I might actually put it in January after the season there. But we're going to do it, and we're going to reconfigure it and include the farmers. Because I realized that a lot of farmers don't know each other, and they don't know what each other is doing, and they're making errors because they're the younger generation. There's not as much of the older generation. So we got to bring the farmers together more. There's some people already doing that. It's a very narrow niche. I went to an event. It was like, I'm the only black person there. Like, are there no black farmers? I was like, where are the black farmers? Is it, like, segregated where... You know, one set of people work with one set of people and other people, and then they'll never the two shall meet. Well, we have to start meeting, you know, because we want to maintain our culture, and all of that is so essential. That is our expression of our spirituality. We have to work together to have sustainable, don't know what to use, any renewable renewable food systems, maybe renewable. So, Agenda 2030. We're going to look more at Agenda 2030 on the upcoming program. We'll divide it into two topics. We did this program. We did a lot on the lab meat. So, we will look at what is Agenda 2030, what Wikipedia has as a commitment to eradicate poverty and achieve sustainable development by 2030, which is a mere 11 years away, worldwide, ensuring that no one is left behind. That sounds so good, but again, like, that means you gotta, if you ensure that no one is left behind, that means you know who everyone is, where everyone is, and what everyone is doing. Why they would be left behind, right? So, wow, the plot isn't even thickens. So, your president, because he's not my president, and this was the former president, not the current, and he's really not my president, but even the former president really wasn't my president because he didn't actually represent anything to do with me. However, oh, I thought he was supposed to be talking about something here. Somehow he didn't get in. So your president was talking about, and that's Barack Obama, was speaking about sustainable development, the necessity. When he was president, he was talking about the yeah, I guess he's not here. Somehow I overlooked uploading him. So we won't be doing that. He basically was using the words of sustainable development and how the West realizes that the East is in grinding poverty and we've got to do something about make sure that foreign nations get to live the standard of living that they deserve, which, of course, is scaring the poop out of the conservatives, because that sure sounds like socialism to them. You know, make sure the poor people have what they have. That means they're going to have less, and that's what they're hearing. They're hearing that if the world is equitable and they stop ripping and ripping off the stuff they stole over millennia from all the dark poor nations and the global south, their standard of living is going to drop, and that is the issue. That's the issue. They can't envision, you know, they're sitting on land they stole from somebody, but they can't envision the rebalance. And just like I said, it's a paradigm whose time is over, and it is a gene who is coming to annihilation, and it's not us. So all of this sustainable, to me, is the death throes of a dying people. So I'm going to end the program now. I think I covered everything. I was going to do that speech. Somehow I missed it, and I already played the Afro-Brazilian reggae that was supposed to end. I played the one that was supposed to be at the beginning. And this is Yael. Listen well. And I'm so enjoyed you. I enjoyed this topic, and it's really shifted my parents. I'm so grateful I took a few hours out of my experience here on this plane to review. I think we played that. So somehow somebody didn't get played. I'm just going to jump into something, and at the end, come forward and let you know about the next program will be up.
Trust the Ayahuasca, him soon forward with the power.
And here is the assignment. Let's see. Let's just observe and listen to your favorite media. Well, if you do talk radio, or listen to NPR for 1 hour if you're in South Florida, and count how many times you hear the word climate change, you know, or a couple of hours. Let's see and compare notes, because that was also piquing me, just, you know, piquing, P-I-Q-U-I-N-G. My curiosity, like, why am I hearing the word climate change every 30 seconds on NPR? You know, they're kind of left. And so I'm like, this is a program. They're programming me with climate change, climate change, climate change, climate change. So what's the real agenda? What's really happening? What's really happening? How long have we lived on the planet? We don't know all the cycles. I'm just saying. You know, so thank you so much for your lovely time and energy. I love you to life. That's it. I'm going to exit on music, but this is actually the end of the program. Love you to life. Next program, Agenda 2030, and another fascinating topic. See you then. Pass it on.
Watch your hands through. It's your own eyes that have seen. So won't you judge your actions to make sure the results are clean? It's your own conscience that is gonna remind you that it's your heart and nobody else's that is gonna judge. Be not selfish in your doing.
Your brother.